Will you pray with me? O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today is the first Sunday in Lent. It is an introspective season when Christians look inward and seek to do better, whether that is with deepened spiritual practices or through greater devotion to outward acts of generosity. During Lent, we seek to do better. In keeping with the spirit of Lent, we are beginning today a sermon series on the topic of sin and repentance. Every week, we will take this up by focusing on a different manifestation of sin. White supremacy, one week. Misogyny, another. Environmental destruction, yet a third week. Now I can see you all right now in my mind's eye, reaching for your calendars, pulling them out, making a note, setting a reminder on your phone. Sermon series on sin and repentance. Next 6 weeks, skip church. Sin and repentance. Sin and repentance. I used to believe that sin was something totally different than I do now. I used to think completely differently about sin than I do now. I used to believe that sin was a big bunch of do's and don'ts, sort of a list of transgressions from Leviticus or Deuteronomy, kind of fished out of the murky deeps and sort of plopped down in the middle of the modern world to thrash about. I used to think that sin was that set of things that other people told me I was doing wrong, and that repentance would just be to cut it out. And I didn't believe in this. I had no use for these concepts of sin and repentance in my spiritual life. I thought nothing of sin because no two people in a row would tell me exactly the same set of things that I was doing wrong. So it seemed that it was all very subjective. And I had no use for repentance either, because it seemed very much like sniffing through every part of my life, hunting after any sort of joy or pleasure, and upon finding it, to cut it out. I had no use for these ideas, sin and repentance. I thought, no more. No more of this sin and repentance talk. Let God's grace abound. But I was wrong about what sin is. I thought too little of it. I underestimated it. My idea of sin, it was like a paper cutout of a monster. And I would hold it up and I would look at it and I'd say, I'm not afraid of that. That's not even real. But the problem is, sin really does exist. And not believing in it is no protection. If anything, it made me more vulnerable. You see, sin, it is not what someone else tells me that I'm doing wrong. Sin is, it's more like a voice. It's more like a voice that lives inside of me, that has something like a will of its own. Sin is that voice in my head that sounds so much like my own voice, I could swear it was me doing the talking. Sin is that voice in my head that says, I can't believe you just did that. What an idiot. Sin is that voice that says, this is exactly what I knew you were going to do. This is what you always do. Sin is that voice in my head saying, you're never going to be anything but a, you've always been such a, everyone here knows that you're just a... Sin, it's like a voice. It's like a voice that talks to me all the time about who I am, what I am worth, what I can become. Sin says things to me that I would never say to another person. I would never say those things about another person, even someone I hated, even someone awful. I would never say the things that I say and I hear in the voice in my head. In those moments when I'm alone and weak and vulnerable, the voice of sin can be so loud and it sounds so much like my own voice, I could swear it was me doing the talking. And that voice, if I listen to it long enough, if I believe what it has to say deeply enough, well, after sin has finished convincing me how little I am worth, it will turn to page 2 of its agenda, convincing me how little everything else is worth too, how little any of you are worth for good measure. Sin whispers advice about what I might as well go ahead and do, because what does it matter? And when the world is a worthless place, outrages seem reasonable. Every person who has ever drank themselves to death, every person who ever embezzled so much money they had to spin a web of lies so vast it swallowed their world, every person who ever let violent fantasies turn into a day of horror inside every single one, the voice of sin was giving them guidance on the path. Every one had long ago given the voice of sin pride of place among counselors. That is what sin is, not some dried out list of do's and don'ts. Sin is the voice living inside of me, telling me who I am and what I deserve, telling me who those people are and what those kinds of people deserve. Sin is that voice whispering the next direction, the next twist or turn I should take on the road, never revealing the final destination, though I suspect I know. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but the very thing I hate is what I do. When I do the very thing I hate, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. Romans chapter 7. That is what sin is, and I believe in that. I can't make any sense of the state of my soul, any sense of the state of the world, without believing in that. Sin and repentance. Sin and repentance. I was wrong about what sin is. I underestimated it. But I was wrong about repentance too. I underestimated the power of repentance too. You see, repentance, it's a simple word. In Greek, it just means turn around. Turn around the way that you would on a highway. when you realize you missed your exit. It means turn around the way that you would if you heard a familiar voice calling your name from far away. Turn around. Go another way. It's what the word means. If sin is shouting at you, shouting at you, you'll never be anything but a, everybody knows that you're nothing but a, if sin is shouting in your face, turn around. Turn around and stop believing the things that sin says about you. Turn around. There is another voice calling from far away. Turn around. Stop believing the things that sin says about you and believe instead. Believe instead in the things that God says about you. Sin says you're never going to amount to anything. The voice of God says, I have made you a little lower than the angels and crowned you with glory. Sin says, if anybody knew who you really were, then they could never love you. God says, before a word is even on your lips, I have known it completely. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Repentance is turning around and not turning any old direction, turning to God, believing in what God has said about you, because sin is a liar and what God has to say is the truth. God spoke and the worlds came into being. God speaks to you. Let new life come into being. I underestimated sin. I don't do that anymore. Having seen it at work in me, having seen it at work in the world, I don't underestimate sin anymore, or at least I take it far more seriously. Homophobia shouts down your worth before the assembly of the faithful. Addiction tries to gutter out the light of your possibilities. An abusive partner has you convinced to count up your value as if it were pocket change. What then? What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? God, who did not withhold the anointed Son but gave Christ for all, will God not also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ who died, yes, who was raised, yes, who is at the right hand of God. It is Christ who intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. For I am convinced that in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.